Hello, everybody, and welcome to Brew Review, a new podcast from the Brew It or Screw It family. I'm your host, Cody, alongside my good friend, Lass.
Hey, how's it going?
Pretty good. How you doing?
Good. New show and the same host. That sounds pretty lame.
I mean,
a little boring.
When you got two new people show, who are just this good at podcasting, you just keep putting them on the same show.
Is it like a show or is it a segment? Like, is this like an extended segment? I don't know.
We haven't really talked about it. So, like, we want to put out more because, you know, once a month, you know, that's just not enough of our beautiful voices on the radio.
Of course.
So we kind of came together and we're like, well, hey, we have like pre-existing decks that we would like to update from time to time. So why don't we do a show called, and last came up with this name, a brew review, where we talk about a deck we've already brewed, we review it, talk about like the struggles, like what it's good at, why we built it, things like that. Talk about a little cuts and adds, like, you know, we do on the regular show, but also just like try to improve these decks so that when we play them, they're not as janky as they might be, because some of these decks are old. In Laz's case,
The full name is Brew Review for when your shit don't fuck like it used to, I think was the total name, but it's kind of hard to market that.
Yeah, so we just kind of shortened it for, you know, PR sake. So we hope you enjoy it. So, you know, every month you'll get a Brew It or Screw It episode, and you'll get a Brew Review episode. So, yeah.
I feel like most of the Brew Review episodes are going to be my decks.
I got some decks that I'd like to talk about and, like, kind of go over, you know? Because, I mean, some of my decks are too strong, I found, and draw a lot of hate, so...
Yeah, no, that's a problem I run into with my decks as well, usually.
But hey, this episode, we are talking about one of Laz's decks. A deck I'm very jealous of, because I love vampires. We're talking about...
Edgar Markov.
Yeah.
The Vampire Daddy.
So, Laz, how long have you had this deck?
This might be the second deck I ever built.
Okay.
I think this was my second or third deck. So this deck's probably pushing like 3 years old.
Oh, wow.
You know, 2.5, 3 years old.
Okay.
It's one of the first ones.
So Edgar Markov, very, you know, everyone knows it, eminence. Whenever you play a vampire, you make a vampire. It never leaves the command zone, pretty much.
Never.
So,
Edgar Markov's on the field, I'm in trouble.
Yeah. Did you pull this, or did you, like, buy it early?
I bought it. No. I bought it. It was, like, $50 when I bought it.
Okay.
Nice. Yeah, it was, like, probably the most expensive card I bought. But the point of building this deck is because when we first started playing, one of our friends, you know, my first deck I've mentioned was Kalia of the Vast.
Yeah.
And... I was doing that, trying to do Angel's Tribal, and it didn't really work that well. Something tells me we'll see a Kalia deck up on here pretty soon. But my friend was playing Ur-Dragon. I'm like, man, the Eminence is so strong, you know, and I was new into Magic, so I'm like, well, who else has Eminence? They're like, nope, there's only four people that have it.
Yeah.
And I saw Edgar Markov. I was like, that is absolutely broken. I'm like, let me do this because it's the same colors. It's Mardu. So I'm like, I can use, you know, kind of some of the same staples. Cause at this point I had like I said, maybe like two or three decks. And what I had been doing is I sleeved them all in hot pink sleeves, and I would have a little sticky note in some of the sleeves if, like, you know, oh, this Soul Ring is in Kalia, and so I'd have to go into Kalia and take the Soul Ring and swap it into Edgar and be like, all right, and put a little sticky note like, all right, Soul Ring's in Edgar now. So I'm like, all right, I'll have 2-3 color decks, you know, the same colors, I can share a lot of the staples. Yeah. and kind of go from there. So that was kind of the point, is I really liked the Angel's Tribal, which wasn't working, so I'm like, all right, let me try a different tribal, and there we were.
Okay, yeah.
I think I was probably thinking Vampire Tribal before I even thought Angel Tribal, because before I even started playing Commander, me and our friend Nick, we started all playing Standard, and this was right as the Ixalan block was ending.
Okay.
So we had all those really cool Vampire cards. So we're playing Standard, and, you know, I was buying tons of those cards just because you know, we were actively playing, and I just kept on trying to make a standard vampire deck to work, and I would just get absolutely destroyed by whatever Nick was making. So I was like, all right, now that we're playing Commander and I have a larger library to access, let's see if I can do this right. Let's see if I can make a feasible vampire's deck.
Well, I think you did pretty good. It's a good deck. I remember this, I think one of the first or second times I ever played Commander, you popped this out, mm-hmm. and you had like a lot of vampires on the board, and you were swinging for a lot of damage every turn, it felt like. So
yeah, I think I played this, yeah, probably your first or second game, because I remember you saying, oh, I really want to, you know, there's this Edgar Markov, you know, maybe I'll build a vampire deck. And I was like, oh, I already got one. I'll play it next time, you know, or I'll play it whenever we play so that you can see how it goes.
Yeah, vampires were cool. So I was like, oh, let me do a vampire. But you have one, and I tried to stop taking people's commanders, as I was very famous to do early on in our deck building.
You took, like, it was like three commanders in a row that, you know, which, hey, if you want to build the same commander, this goes to anybody. That's fine. It's just when you only play with, you know, three other people, yeah, and you keep on building their decks, it's like, all right, man, let's like see some new stuff. Yeah. Let's see what you can do.
Yeah. Yeah. So, Edgar Markov, very strong, three color. So what makes you enjoy the deck? Like, what, you know, is it just that you get to spam the board with a bunch of vampires? Is it just finding cool combos? Like, what is the playstyle you enjoy about this deck?
Well, we will we'll get into this more too when we start talking about the cuts and adds. But what I really enjoyed about the deck is, as we mentioned many times, I really like tribal, and this seemed like a very easy way to get tribal because there's a lot of vampires. They're very cheap, you know, mana cost wise for the most part, so you're able to spam them out there and you're pretty much doubling it, so because you're making the tokens with Markov. So it kind of just seemed like the perfect synergy of get to play vampires, and every time you play a vampire you make a vampire, so then all your anthem effects are just, you know, kind
stronger
duplicating, yeah, you know. And so that kind of is why I enjoyed it. And plus, there's, you know, vampires kind of lend themselves into the life gain theme, which, besides tribal, I always tend to work life gain some way or another into decks too. I like life gain decks. So back when I was playing standard, I had, you know, my four Johnny Pride mates in there from was it Core 19, when Core 19 came out. Like, I was doing lots of life gain decks too. So this was gonna be kind of my life gain / vampire tribal deck, and it's a lot of fun to play. It's, you can get stuff out very quick. Going from Kalia to this was kind of like a breath of fresh air, where there's a lot of 2 and 3 cost creatures that come out, and when they come out, then I make another vampire token with it. So it was very nice to be able to spam the board early on in games, which was something I wasn't used to being able to do, because as soon as Kalia would come out, then I would get focused down to 10 health and then play defense for the next 40 minutes.
Yeah. Yeah, I gotcha. All right. So, looking over this deck and you're like looking for cuts and adds and all that, what kind of weaknesses did you kind of come across while going over the deck?
Well, so weaknesses I saw in the deck, and then just weaknesses of playing the deck for, you know, past couple of years, is I always run into the same issue, and that is card draw. This deck, consistently, every single time I play it, I feel like I end up top decking. And it's just, you know, I just don't know why. I know whenever you go online, everyone always says to make an Edgar Markov deck very low to the ground, very low CMC. But I didn't do that too much, because there's some really cool bigger creatures that you can do, and cool things that you can do with some of the more expensive creatures, and then there's planeswalkers and all this stuff. So I feel like I messed up the mana curve, and I had too many expensive cards, which shouldn't be that big of a deal, but for some reason I just never had enough mana to play some of these expensive cards, and I'd either be top decking, or I would be sitting there with a grip of, you know, like 6 and 7 mana cost cards that I can't play. So I just feel like I never really got to make this deck as good as it could have been. It's won before. I've had fun with it, you know, tons of times. But I feel like I've never would consider this a good deck or a strong deck, which, you know, most people say there's an Edgar Markov at the table. You know, it's pretty much going to be 3v1 because it's so strong. I feel like I'd always have to say, no, this one sucks. Don't worry.
Yeah. I mean, I think it's a very strong deck. I think it just you have to get the right, you know, curve of like cards in your hand and all that.
Definitely.
I think, definitely, you know, I do agree with you. There are a couple like high costed cards that maybe like could get cut just to put in a couple. Cause like, you mean with Edgar, you want to play like low cost creatures to fill the board up. And then you kind of want to start getting your like Cathars Crusade. One of the cards I'll talk about for my ads, get a couple of Anthem creatures out there and like pump them all up. And then
yeah, start pumping.
Just start going.
Get the board full and then pump up. Yeah. And I wasn't really playing like that. I was get some stuff on the board and then hopefully that would hold me over until I had enough mana to do cool stuff.
Yeah.
And it doesn't usually work that way.
And like,
never really worked.
One thing I kind of know, like, you had a similar to the human tribal deck we talked about earlier in the month. It seemed like there was a couple different themes you were kind of like picking at, but it couldn't really land on one.
Mm-hmm.
When I think like, you know, just pumping up and, you know, maybe plus one counters, things like that is the play. But there's like a couple cards about like reanimation. And I get like, you know, trying to like, if you get a board wiped, you want to get those cards back onto the battlefield, things like that.
Mm-hmm. Lots of reanimation and lots of stealing creatures.
Stealing creatures, a couple aristocratic things, which like makes sense when you have a bunch of 1/1s that could get like pinged off or like can be sacked, things like that. But I think if we could narrow in on one just main goal of fill the board, pump it up with anthems and things like that, I think that would kind of streamline the deck and make it a little bit better.
Yeah, and that's kind of, you know, this was a very early deck that I made, and I had the problem with I'd make a deck, and then if it wasn't performing well, I'd never said, like, all right, well, let's fix it. It was always like, all right, let's find a new commander. Let's see, you know, the next deck's going to be good. So I think for this little segment that we're doing here at the Brew Reviews, I think it's going to be a lot of my old decks that we touch up. You know, it's going to be a lot of like, oh, this is my first deck. Well, this is my third, you know.
We'll bounce back and forth, you know.
We'll bounce back and forth.
Same as Brooder Screw It.
Yeah, there's a lot of amateur mistakes that were made in this deck and just never addressed. So
yeah,
I think we'll go into that.
I think the only thing we should talk about, and this is the first thing you texted me about when we were talking about, okay, what's another podcast we can do, things like that, and you were like uploading all your decks to Moxfield, and you were like, man, Edgar, 3-color, 33 lands. And I was like, that one's due for a podcast. And that's where kind of, I think, Brew Review took shape and was like, we need to talk about our decks and like see what each other think, you know.
Wait, would you like to mention the little note that you made here on our note sheet here?
So as you may know, as a podcast host, I like to have a little docket of like what we're going to talk about, things like that. Have the, you know, the deck list, the cuts and adds list. Here I put lands talk, : what the fuck is this shit, sir? Because
this is a shared Google Doc. So I was like, oh, the show notes are up. And I read them. I'm like, all right, questions. We got cuts. We got, what the fuck is this shit, sir? I'm like, warranted. All right, it's warranted.
There's just it kind of seems like, as you talked about your Kalia deck and things like that, like you were kind of taking cards and maybe transferring them. And I think the lands maybe suffered from this the most, because there's just a lot of like random, like, because it's not like you have all the check lands or you have all the, you know, any sack lands, things like that. It's just kind of like you have Orzhov Basilica, which is that the bounce land where you play it and it taps for 2 mana. You have a couple that benefit from like being a tribal themed deck, like Path of Ancestry
and Unclaimed Territory. Cody. that you have to realize, every land you add to a deck is one less cool card that you get to put in the deck. That's what you have to realize.
Okay, I'm just going to rewind the podcast about 5 minutes. Where you talked about how the mana curve is so screwed up and you'd be sitting there not being able to play cards.
Yeah, because I have expensive cool cards in there. It's like, all right, cut a basic land and let's put a 7-cost vampire in here.
I will say, one thing I'm kind of proud about is... So your deck is very heavily focused on black, so you have 8 swamps. Whereas you don't have as much red, and so you have only 2 mountains. So it's like, okay, you were looking at like the basic lands a little bit and trying to see like what you could do.
Yeah, yeah. But
you do have the triumphs, things like that.
I update the triumph. Like, the thing is also is it's very, for me, you know, it's hard to kind of fix decks once they're made. You know, once a deck is made, I have a bad habit of just never updating them. You know, or if I update them, a new card comes out. It's like, oh, this is a cool card, and I'll just like quickly go through and, you know, pull out a land and put a cool card in. And, you know, it's just, it's not until you get, you know, I was entering everything into Moxfield just to kind of like digitize the collection, and I was like, all right, let's get all the creatures in here. Let's get all the artifacts. And, like, after doing that and then looking at the deck and, you know, making sure, one, that's 100 cards, because there is a couple of sneaky 99-card decks in there, I hate to tell you. But, you know, so as doing that, I'm like, 33 lands. I'm like, that can't be right. And sure enough, yeah, 33 lands. And, yeah, that was kind of a problem. And then plus two... Man, this was when I was new, and I had just built that Kalia deck. So I was like, there's some lands that, or some cards that are just too expensive, and that's why there's probably going to be some ads on here for both of us that are no-brainers. But at the time, it was like, I just spent $50 on this commander. I'm not going to drop another $50 on this artifact, you know? So
yeah, that's fair.
That was kind of, you know, kind of a little bit of what was happening there.
No, totally fair, and, you know, that's what these kind of podcasts are for, is for people who are like, well, I have decks and like, I never really stop and think about like, what could I improve about them? And so that's, you know, we're doing it here, but for the listeners at home, like, we want to be able to like give insight about like why you should, you know, stop and look at decks after a couple, you know, if for 10 games you play a deck and you lose terribly 9 of the 10, you know, stop and take a look at like what's going on, like what you need to fix. Cause if not, you're just going to get frustrated, hate that deck.
Yeah, and what I started doing too is when I make new decks, I have a little card in the front of the deck, and I'll note when it won. And, you know, if it's just like a regular, like, all right, you know, just kind of everyone was low health and I swung in and, you know, killed the guy, I don't make a note. But if it's, oh, I somehow got this card and this card that interacted like this and I was able to do some cool shit or something, I'll make a note. Like, hey, I did this and this and drained everyone for 25 health, killing the table. You know, making a note. But yeah, it's just, you know, keep tabs, keep notes of the decks that you're building, decks that you're playing. And man, I'm telling you, if I didn't put all this on Moxfield, I'd probably be still playing that Edgar Markov deck as is and still, you know, cursing and complaining about how much it sucks.
Yes, because I do remember a recent time where you played and you were doing really good, and I think like one or two board wipes happened, and it just seemed like you lost, like all the momentum was gone, and you had a planeswalker out that didn't really do anything because you had the thing in hand and like things like that. Mm-hmm. And so I definitely, you know, I think it's, you know, just time for a little freshen up, you know?
Absolutely. And that's what we're doing here.
Yeah. So before we get into cuts and ads, let's talk about some pet cards, because like everyone puts a couple pet cards into a deck that like you just love the way it looks, you love the way it plays, and you want to keep it in the deck no matter what. So let's talk about a couple of those.
All right. Well, so I'd say my absolute favorite card in this deck, and this deck was actually going to be this other commander. This other card was going to be the commander instead, but I would lose access to a color, and that's Alanda the Duskrose.
Mm.
Two colorless, white and a black, lifelink. Whenever another creature dies, put a 1/1 counter on Alanda. When Alanda dies, create X 1/1 vampire creature tokens with lifelink, where X is Alanda's power. I loved this card. The price has gone down so much, thankfully. But it's funny. It's a good thing I didn't make this the commander, because the rules kind of changed since I've built this deck, where I would have been playing Alanda incorrectly, because what was it? It was something weird, like if she died, then you wouldn't get to make all those creatures. They changed something with it.
Was it with the command zone ruling?
Yeah, with the command zone ruling. Like if it went to the command zone, then you wouldn't get any of those things.
That's so weird. Wow.
And I was like, oh, well, good thing they changed that, because I would have been playing like that anyway.
Yeah.
But I'd say that's probably... I love that card, because it's not even whenever another creature you control dies. It's any creature dies. So for a deck that's just... you're pumping out tons and tons of these 1/1 creature tokens. It's just so helpful. She gets big, and you know, she gets big. So it's like, all right, well, obviously that's the threat. Take that out. And then it's like, all right, yeah, you know, please don't exile her. But you know, but like, you know, she dies, and it's like, okay, well, now I have 30 vampires. Never once has this card worked. I've never once actually gotten to do this and make more than like 3 vampires, but it's gonna happen one day. When it does, oh, it's gonna be awesome.
Yeah, it's a good card. Yeah, definitely agree. It can do some really cool things, and hopefully one day we get to see that happen.
Yeah, so I'd say that's probably one of the pet cards. You know, enchantments, artifacts, spells, for the most part, those are all kind of just your standard tribal synergy cards and stuff like that. So I'd say probably the only other deck that I really like is Cordial Vampire. My love of this card is twofold. One, it's really good. It's a black and a black. Whenever Cordial Vampire or another creature dies, put a 1/1 counter on each vampire you control. So this is so great at pumping up your board once you have so many vampires out there, and it's just any creature. It's not creatures you control, just any creature dies, you pump up all of your vampires. That is fantastic.
Yeah.
My second reason for liking it is because the creature on the card is exactly my cousin Joseph. like exactly down to the leather vest with the long drippy hair and Yeah, my cousin Joe is a weird cat. You know, he's in like all these death metal bands and stuff like that. And that is his look growing up. You know, whenever I see him, it's black leather, long shaggy hair. And to the point where I actually sent him a picture of this card, and he was genuinely concerned. He was like looking up the artist and stuff. And you're like, is this maybe like someone I know?
Yeah.
He's like, this... he's like, this looks like me. It's so funny. I've shown this card to like everyone in my family. They're like, why is Joseph on one of these cards?
That's so funny.
Plus, he thinks he's a vampire. It just works out so perfectly. It's the funniest thing in the world. So my love of this card is a little personal, but that's definitely one of the reasons.
I gotcha. All right. Yeah. I want to say.
So those are mine. I'd say those just, you know, 2 pet cards, I'd say.
Yeah. One card that I really love from this deck is Anawan the Ruined Sage. Because for a hot while there, I was thinking about making a mono black vampire deck, and this was going to be the commander, because I was like, getting your upkeep, each player sacrifices a non-vampire. I brought in all vampires, so I don't got to worry about that.
This card is radioactive hot whenever it touches the board. Yes,
that's
this,
the issue.
I don't think this has ever made it around.
Yeah.
You know, like, this card's just nuclear, son of a bitch.
Which can
cut
be
that.
A good thing.
Make me sound smart. Well, it's good. Hey, I am perfectly fine with people removing your really good cards. Because, you know, as long as it's not your one combo piece needed to go off or do something. Like Anwan, the Ruined Sage, 3 colorless, a black and a black. At the beginning of your upkeep, so it takes a turn to activate for the most part. At the beginning of your upkeep, each player sacrifices a non-vampire creature. That's just really good, you know?
Yeah.
And when you have a deck, I think every single creature... Yeah, I don't have any non-vampires in this deck. Going through right now, every single card in here is a vampire, as it should be. It's tribal. But so you just can't sacrifice anything. And everyone else has to sacrifice. It gets around hexproof, gets around indestructible, gets around all that garbage. So the card's fantastic and people hate it. So hey, you have removal, use it.
Yep.
You know? I'd much rather you remove this one card that, you know, doesn't do anything for my board but screws up everyone else's board. You know, Path to Exile that instead of my Alanda or instead of one of these other cards, you know, where'd that guy go? Yeah, Stormkirk Captain. Other vampire creatures you control get +1/+1 and have first strike. You know, these Anthem cards that I have that just, you know, make all my creatures and everything on my board better. I'd rather keep those.
Yeah.
Make someone wasted on Anwan, the Rune Sage. Yep. So I don't mind that. You know, I don't mind people getting rid of the good cards if it, you know, takes the focus away from my other stuff going on.
Gotcha. All right, well, without further ado, let's talk about some cuts and adds. Let's start to, you know, pump, freshen up the stack, make it a little bit better.
A little bit better? Okay, all right. So, what do you want me to talk about first? The cuts? We'll do some cuts?
Yeah, let's go over some cuts before we get to the good stuff, you know?
All right. So, I'll start with some creatures that I'm cutting. So, the first creature I have here, I'm very annoyed now because this did not do it. So it did it alphabetically, but it didn't do it sort of by card type. So, all right. It's going to make it harder for me. Falcon Wrath Noble. This is 3 colorless and a black. It's a flying 2/2 vampire. Whenever Falcon Wrath Noble or another creature dies, target player loses a life, you gain 1 life. It's kind of expensive. It's a 4 cost card for a 2/2, and all it does is, you know, it pings people for a life and you gain a life. I just feel like it's not adding enough value to the deck. It's not a life gain deck, so, you know, that kind of like what you mentioned, I was trying to do too much, you know, and as we talked about in our last episode too, it's that kind of makes a deck worse when you're trying to go in too many different paths. So this, it's a little expensive. It's only a 2/2 flyer, and that target player loses a life, you gain a life. It's just not worth it for me.
Yeah, I think the mana cost of this one really sets it back. I think if this was, I mean, but then you're just looking at a Blood Artist pretty much. This is just
okay. Give me a flying Blood Artist for 3 mana, you know?
Yeah.
But
yeah, I agree with this cut. I think it's one that can go in place of a lower cost vampire.
Absolutely. Next one, Mirror Entity. It's 2 colorless and a white. It's a changeling. And then you can pay X until end of turn. Creatures you control have base power and toughness XX and gain all creature types. This deck was in there since I first built it, and I just never really got the benefit of it. I never really had enough mana to effectively pump up, you know, that X cost there. And I have so many different Anthem effects and all this other stuff on some of these cards. And creatures you control have base power, toughness, XX. I have some creatures that, you know, are 4/4s or 5/5s or something. And to do this, and then it's like, all right, well, now that my 4/4s and 5/5s are 1/1s, you know, it makes, or 2/2s or whatever I paid into X. I just never really got the full benefit of this card. So I'd say cut it. That's what I think.
I think, so I know a big thing for you is also you don't like shapeshifters in a tribal theme deck.
It's a cop-out, yeah. I think, yeah.
I do think this card can be strong. I do think this is going to be a game finisher. You just have to have the mana in place.
That's a lot of mana.
Like, if you can turn all your 2/2s that are getting bumped by other creatures into 7/7s that are now getting bumped by +3/+3 because of your anthems, yeah, that's worth it. The issue is, you know, it's a 100-card format. You have to have this card in hand and then drop it and then have the mana to be able to pump up your stuff.
And then, all right, 7 mana. There's, you know, other cards in this deck that for 7 mana can do cool stuff. Yeah,
you have a Ruinous Ultimatum, which would just, you know, help you out.
That wins you the game for the most part, you know. Yeah. So I put that on my cut list, yeah.
I would agree with that one. I think, you know, it is a card you could add back if you're finding you can't finish a game out. But I think for now, it's a good cut.
All right. Next card. So, Olivia Voldaren, two colorless, black and a red. Very good card. Very good card. Yeah. But I just don't like it. So it's a flying 3/3. You can pay two mana. It deals one damage to target creature. That creature becomes a vampire. And Olivia gets a 1/1. And then you're also able to pay three colorless, a black and a black. Gain control of target vampire for as long as you control Olivia. Like I said, I was trying to do too many different things, and there was a lot of vampires that steal other creatures. It seems like fun in theory. When you're actually playing, it's just kind of a... I don't know. I never enjoyed stealing creatures. No one enjoys getting their creatures stolen, especially in our pod. It's, you know, you might as well be destroying lands. Puts a yeah, puts a big X on you once you start doing that. So it's a card that I never really got to use to its full potential, too, just because it's four mana to get it out there. Then it's two mana to turn something else into a vampire, and it's five mana to gain control of that card only as long as Olivia's still around. So it's just... It's kind of a lot of stuff that you need. I would say you have to make this a commander to make it as strong as it could be. I don't think it's that strong in the 99. Well, it's strong in the 99. I don't think it's that usable in the 99, at least in this deck that I've made. So that one's getting cut.
Yeah, once again, I think, you know, four mana, a little high for what we want to start getting you a couple low-costed vampires. But also, yeah, just, that's being... That's a lot of mana to put into an effect just to steal a creature that if Olivia gets swords, you pumped all that mana in for nothing. So
yeah, well, it's four mana, so then two, so that's six, then plus another five, so it's 11 mana just to piss off your friend.
Pretty much, yeah. I remember you did this in the last game.
Pay 11 mana, and piss everybody off.
You pissed, I think, Mike off, and Mike turned around and started swinging at you. So
yeah, absolutely. You get all nonstop Gisheth dinosaurs just because you stole one of his things. It's just not worth it.
Yeah. So yeah, definitely worth a cut.
And then I have one more creature cut, which sucks because this is a newer addition. This is like one of the newer cards I did add to the... It's not a new card, but it's a new card that I added just because I opened it in a pack. So I was like, I like it. Vana, Butcher of Megan, three colorless, white and a black, very expensive, five mana. It's a Vigilance Lifelink 4/4 vampire, and then you can tap it, pay seven life, destroy target non-land permanent, and you can only do that on your turn. Great card. I really like this card. It doesn't belong in this deck. It's not a life gain deck. I can't afford to be paying seven life, especially when I'm trying to get all these creatures out there. Kind of putting a target on yourself, and then you're sacrificing seven life. You know, it's very nice to get that target non-land permanent. You're able to get rid of artifacts, creatures, what have you, but it doesn't belong in this deck, even though it is a vampire. This is probably going to find its way into my life gain deck, just where I'm able to, but it also sucks that you have to tap it to do it. It's not just a pay seven life effect.
Yeah, that's the thing. It's like, this card is very weird, because like, five mana is kind of high cost for what we want, but also it's like it has vigilance, so like they want you to keep it untapped, but then like you can only get its ability on your turn. And I get like there's probably somewhere like it's broken to be paying seven life just to be able to destroy stuff, because I'm sure there's like some kind of way you can trick the system here, but it just feels weird, like a weird thing. But I think this would go great in a life gain deck.
And it'll probably be adding it into my life gain deck too, or it might already be in there. I'm not sure at the moment, but yeah, it's a great effect. Just you need to have a lot of extra life, and there's not enough life gain in here to support that.
Yeah. So good cut.
All right. Good cut. Let's do some artifacts. First two artifacts I cut: Ragdos Signet, Orzhov Signet. I know I need more mana in this deck, so actually what we ended up discussing what we were going to do is for this deck, so there's only 33 lands in there, so we both made 15 cuts and we're doing 10 additions and then just 5 lands, so we're taking 15 out, putting 15 back in, but we're only gonna go over 10 cards that we're adding back in, because the other 5 we're just throwing lands in there just to kind of even it up there. So all right. So yeah, the Signets, I took those out just because I'd be better off just putting basic lands in there. You know, I don't need these mana rocks in there. I need land. So, you know, I'm cutting these for some mana. I'm sure you don't agree with that, but what do you got?
I would say if you're gonna run a, you know, you have Arcane Signet because you're doing three color. I don't think the Orzhov Rakdos Signet do as much as I would like, because I mean, I'm trying to think. You don't really have a lot of three colored spells in the deck.
No.
Yeah. So I don't know. I just feel like there's a lot of opportunity for wasted mana, or things like that. Because like, I mean, your big spells like Ruinous Ultimatum, Kindred Charge, things like that. Like, just kind of, I don't know. I think these signets aren't good for that. Now, a Chromatic Lantern would feel pretty good here. Just gonna throw that out there.
Hey, I love Chromatic Lantern. I don't think I put it in my ads, but I should. I probably should. But like you said, I don't have a lot of three color cost cards, and I really don't have that much.
Two different red.
There's not all that much white in here. It's like a lot of just black cards, you know. So
yeah,
I feel like mana fixing was never, or color fixing was never that big of an issue in this deck. It was always just lack of mana, lack of correct colored mana.
Yeah, so I think you're okay.
So yeah, cutting those two. Let's see, back down to the artifacts. The other artifact that I'm cutting, which hurts me to do it, is Bolas Citadel, because I love this card. But three colorless, black, so six mana artifact. Look at the top deck of your card at any time, and you can play lands and cast spells from the top of your library by paying life instead of its mana value. And then you could also tap it, sack 10 non-land permanents, like all your vampire tokens. Each opponent loses 10 life. I don't gain enough life in this deck to be paying life instead of mana for some of these cards. Yes, I know the creatures are cheaper, but, you know, it's the same thing like Vana. You know, paying 7 life to get rid of something is strong, but, you know, I'm trying to get all these creatures out here. I can't be affording to, you know, waste 6 mana or 6 life every turn by playing free vampires that are kind of low cost here.
I don't know.
I see you don't care for that one.
I do think this is a game finisher, so at times. Because, I mean, if you get a nice string of cheap costing vampires you can throw out on the field, everyone's sub 10, you can tap it. And
none of my vampires have haste. None of them,
You don't gotta have haste. You just gotta have 10 on the board to sack and hit everyone for 10 when they're below 10.
For 10, okay. Have everyone lose 10. I don't know. I feel like I don't think sacking 10 non-land permanents for each opponent to lose 10 life is even that strong. Just that's a lot of non-land permanents.
It is.
And getting rid of 10... If I have 10 vampire tokens that I'm able to sacrifice, then why not just, you know, having those 10 vampire tokens being buffed by all these other anthem effects? You know, by the time I'm able to afford to play this card and make that use out of it, my 1/1 tokens are now 3/3s or 4/4s with lifelink and first strike and stuff like that. I don't want to sacrifice that just to make everyone lose 10 life. You know?
That's fair, yeah. I do think like the cost of, like, 6 mana is a lot versus like what we're wanting to do with the deck. I just think there is a world where this could be in the deck because it could be seen as a potential game ender whenever, you know, it allows it.
Yeah. I'm trying to go wide, you know.
Yeah,
trying to,
no, it's fine. Yeah.
Trying to go wide and stuff like that. And I don't know, there's so many anthem effects out here that anything that I'd be able to sacrifice is worth too much, I think.
That's fair.
You know, if it was like an elf ball deck or something where you kind
of
just
make a bunch
of, you know, you have 300 elves on there and you're doing stuff, then yeah, I could see that. But this, the whole point of my tokens is that I'm trying to get benefit from the tokens. So
I gotcha.
That's just kind of my thought process with that. Let's see, sorceries. A lot of these sorceries are weird ones because, like I said, I consistently ran into the same problem with this deck, which is I'm always top decking. I just never have enough cards in hand. So I put in a lot of sorcery cards to kind of help that. And I think if I just construct the deck better, I won't need all these. So that's kind of what I'm hoping, is that I can make these cuts with these sorceries and make the deck better by the other additions. So sorceries, ambitions costs, draw three cards, lose three life. Read the bones, scry two, draw two, lose two. I have another one that's pretty much the same exact thing. Where'd that go? Or did I keep one of them in? I might have kept one of them in.
You kept Night's Whisper in.
Night's Whisper, yeah. So I also had Night's Whisper. Yeah, draw two cards, lose two life. I also kept Ancient Craving. I kept that one in. Draw three cards, lose three life. I have some.
Black is very good for drawing cards, but also paying life for it.
Yeah, which is fine, but you know, I don't think I needed five of those in here. So I cut some of these out. So
I think,
yeah, got rid of Ambition's Cost. Wait.
I do think that if we're going to go for these card draws, we're losing life and things like that. I do think the two mana ones are good. Like Sign and Blood with Night's Whisper, I think is good. I also think there's the ones where it's like sack a creature, draw two cards, like Village Rites. There's one where you sack two, create a treasure. I do think those are your card draw you should be going for. But continue. Mm-hmm. Sorry.
No, that's fine. So yeah, so I kept Night Whisper in there, Minions Murmurs I kept in there, draw X cards, lose X life, where X is the number of creatures you control. So I do have a lot of card draw cards in here, but some of them were kind of duplicates. You know, Ambition's Cost is the same thing, and Read the Bones. I'd rather put either mana in place of these or, you know, other creatures I can hopefully get out. So, those cuts, what is it? New Blood. Also cut that sorcery as an additional cost to cast New Blood, tap and untap vampire control. Very easy. But gain control of target creature and turn them into a vampire. Same thing. I didn't want to steal creatures. That was a different direction that this deck was starting to head in towards that wasn't really paying off and making me more of a threat than I felt I really was. So got rid of that. And then, let's see, I think I have one more sorcery here. Yeah, Cleansing Nova. I just replaced Cleansing Nova with a better board wipe, pretty much. Or, in my opinion, a better board wipe. But I also don't want too many board wipes in this deck because I have a lot of creatures. And as is, I already have 1, 2, 3. Yeah, I have 3 board wipes in here already, and I think I added a couple too into my considering. Yeah, I added one more into there. So I don't want too many board wipes. So I felt like I could cut Cleansing Nova fairly easily.
Yeah, not a bad cut.
All right, almost done with these. Don't worry. Instance, let's see. Got rid of Dark Ritual. Good card. I love using it, but
I just think three black and this three color doesn't make a lot of sense. If this is a mono color or a two color, I think it'd be fine.
Yeah, and it just didn't seem like a need for it. So I also cut a Dark Ritual and Vampiric Tutor. So
okay, the king of hating tutors had Vampiric Tutor of all tutors in his deck.
I opened this card, so I put it into a deck. I was like, why not, you know? But I cut Vampiric Tutor. It's just
Vampiric Tutor is the card I cut, mainly because I was like, this man hates tutors. Why is he running a tutor?
Yeah, that's the thing. You cut it out of spite. You didn't cut it because it was best for the deck.
It doesn't add anything to the deck. I don't feel like you're not like, it's not like you're getting a combo piece off of it, which we've already talked about how I hate that much, that stuff.
There's not a lot of combos in the deck too. Yeah. So like realistically, if I tutor for something, it'd be tutoring for a board wipe or, you know, a planes. So. Fair. You know, it's just there's something else I could take the spot. You know, I'm not playing CEDH. I don't need a Vampiric Tutor in the deck, so it got cut. And let's see what else we got. Enchantment, Phyrexian Reclamation. Pay 2 life, return target creature card from your graveyard to your hand. It's a good card, but it's just paying extra life for stuff, and I don't know. I feel like I just never really did it. I have other graveyard recursion cards in here, or vampires that bring vampires from my graveyard back out. So
when we're talking about multiple themes, it kind of felt like you were also trying to make sure you could bring stuff back. I just don't think this is worth the mana investment or the life investment to be doing that when you.
And even now, talking about it, like going through, it seems like a lot of these decks were, or a lot of these cards were, I was building the deck to not win right away. It seems like a lot of this was kind of being able to just dirtle around and, you know, protect myself if stuff happens, which, you know, this isn't a deck that is the, you know, wait, let's let it build up, let, you know, get your pieces in order. This is kind of a very fast
build,
because you have that eminence trigger. Yeah. Cheap vampires, making tokens, pump them up, win. You know, so I shouldn't really be focused too much on the, you know, bring stuff back from your graveyard, or let's steal this creature, or do this and you gain a life. You know, it should be a very cutthroat, try to get a win as fast as possible. So cut, you know, some of the cards that don't really play into that that play style. And one last card to cut. Sorin, Vengeful Bloodlord, Planeswalker. 2 colorless, white, and a black. As long as it's your turn, creatures, planeswalkers you control have lifelink. You can +2, deal 1 damage to a player or planeswalker, and then you can -X to return creature with X, you know, CMC X or less from your graveyard to the battlefield. Same type of thing. You know, I don't really need to be recurring from my graveyard that much. That +2 ability is not all that great. I did like that it gives creatures I control lifelink. It's only during my time, though, so that's pretty much forcing me to go on the offensive.
Yeah.
You know, where sometimes I want to leave up blockers and stuff like that, and you don't get that lifelink benefit. So this was another case of, hey, I opened the stained glass version in a secret layer, so... let's put it in there, because Sorin's badass.
Yeah, I cut it as well, just because it takes the place of a vampire we could be playing, and that, you know, that's one less token we don't get to make. So yeah, that was another card I cut as well.
Okay. So yeah, that's it. That's it for my cuts.
Okay. Yeah. So when I was coming together, I was like, okay, we want to get a couple more like low-costed things in here. It's like kind of a couple high-costed things and just cards I didn't think really fit the theme we were going for. I'm just going to go through alphabetical.
Okay.
First up, I have Blade of the Blood Chief. This is 1 mana artifact equipment. Whenever a creature dies, put a +1/+1 counter on a creature. If it's a vampire, you put 2 +1/+1s, and it has equip 1. I think it's good.
It is a good card. It is a good card in a vampire tribal. I think it's just
slow when we want to be building. We don't want to build one creature up. We want to build multiple up. And so we don't really want to be spending the 1 mana to be bouncing this around on certain creatures. I just think there's other cards we could be putting in the deck that would be more beneficial.
Yeah. And plus, there's not any one card that would benefit from being real big in this deck. Maybe, you know, maybe a Londa, the Dusk Rose, or something like that, but that'd be better if she was the commander. But for the most part, a lot of the cards in this deck are, you know, other vampires you control get 1/1 and first strike, or, you know, you put a 1/1 on each vampire. You know, it's a lot of stuff that helps the other tokens that you're making. So, yeah, no, I kind of agree with this, that there's no need for a card that kind of focuses on making one creature super big, you know, one vampire super big. So, yeah, no, I agree with that, too.
Yeah. Next up, we have the Bloodline Necromancer. This is 4 colorless and a black for a vampire wizard. It has a lifelink. Whenever it enters the battlefield, you can return a target vampire or wizard from your graveyard to the battlefield. It's a 3/2. High cost. We're trying to get away from that graveyard recursion a little bit. The lifelink is kind of negligent because it's a 3/2. It might be getting pumped, but I think the 5 mana for this is a little much, in my opinion.
Yeah. No, it definitely is. I could see that, too. And it's crazy. I'm going through your cuts here now, too. And there's a lot of stuff that I didn't have cuts on. So I wonder if it's going to be like, I'm just gonna end up redoing this entire deck, it seems like. God damn.
I mean, hey, 30 cards out, 30 cards in. Mm-hmm. Next up, we have Cruel Celebrant. This is a white black. Whenever Cruel Celebrant or another creature or planeswalker you control dies, each opponent loses one life and you gain one life. Got a couple aristocratic features in there. I know it's a low cost.
It's very low cost vampire. You know, you figure it comes out and it makes a token. You know, any vampire in this deck, you have to assume it's cost for the creature plus a 1/1 token. You know, so it's kind of 2 mana for a 1/2 that has this effect, and it also brings in a 1/1 token. It's just, I don't know, it seems like a very good deal for a white and a black. So this one, I'm not sure about.
That's fair. Okay. Yeah. That's fair. My main thing was just trying to get away from the aristocrat kind of strategy. And,
right.
But I'll admit, it is a two cost.
And it's good too, because I've had games where I get this out early, and another card that I was going back and forth on cutting, because it's a deck that's helped me, a card that's helped me a lot, but it's also screwed me a lot, which is Skull Clamp.
Mm, yeah.
Because in this deck, if you get that Skull Clamp early, it can really help you fly through some of those cards.
Yeah.
You know, through your cards, you're just drawing nonstop. However, it sucks once you finally get one of your Anthem vampires out there, where like all vampires get +1/+1, and it's like, well, shit, like. So it's, I was going back and forth on whether or not to cut Skull Clamp too, just kind of the same thing. But to get Cruel Celebrant out there and it makes a 1/1, and then you can just right away Skull Clamp it, sack it. Each opponent loses a life and you gain a life, as opposed to the other card that we cut that was target player loses a life and you gain a life.
That's fair. Yeah.
I like Cruel Celebrant.
Next up, we got Dark Imposter. This is 2 generic for a black. It's a vampire assassin. It has 4 generic, 2 black, exile target creature, and put a +1/+1 counter on Dark Imposter. Dark Imposter has all activated abilities of all creature cards exiles with it. 3 mana, low cost, right?
Yeah.
Not a very good effect. But feel like we could find another 3 cost effect that doesn't require you to pay 6 mana into it to make it do something.
Yeah, I agree with that. I would cut that.
Yeah. Dusk Legion Zealot. This is 1 in the black. When it enters the battlefield, you draw a card, you lose life. I had another card that I added that I felt like was a better version of this. That's the main reason I cut this one. It is 2 costs, so I understand wanting to keep it. It does give you a card draw. But
we can keep both of them in there then.
All right.
I like it just, it's a 2 cost. So you basically, you get this 1/1. You get to draw a card, and then you make a 1/1 token. So for 2 mana, you're making 2 bodies, and you draw a card. I'll take that deal. You know, I would do that.
That's
so
fair.
We'll go through your adds later and see what card you added in its place, and probably a good chance that we'll just have both of them in there, because a cheap vampire that brings in a card is I'm all on board for that.
That's fair. We have Florian, Voldaren Scion. This is 1, a black, a red. For a vampire noble, as first strike, at the beginning of your post-combat main phase, look at the top X cards of your library, where X is the total amount of life your opponent's lost this turn. Exile 1 of those cards and put the rest on the bottom of your library in random order. You may play the exiled card this turn.
I don't even know why this is in this deck. Well, it's a vampire.
It's a vampire.
And I guess I was excited with, you know, when they were doing the midnight
when you're,
hunt, but yeah, it sucks.
When you're building up to, like, you want that big explosive turn, you might not be swinging every turn. And so I think we can find another 3 mana card that could sit on the board and actually do something versus sit there and wait for you to swing or wait for something to die for a Cruel Celebrant to ping, things like that.
No, I agree. This card, I don't know. I don't know why it's in there. I don't know how it got past my second round of cuts too. So yeah, get rid of that.
But before I get to this next one, we were having a conversation about like a motto for the podcast, and you said something about cut that one land.
Go ahead, you can cut that one land.
Memorial to Folly. It's a land that enters the battlefield tap. You can tap it to add a black, or you can pay 2 generic and a black, tap it, sack it to return target creature card from your graveyard to your hand. Once again, trying to get away from the graveyard recursion aspect of
yeah well the this is a land and worst case scenario.
But it does enter tap. That's piece. My big thing. I'm trying to get us away from tap lands.
Right.
So yeah, that was it. Was A, it's enters tapped. You could just play a swamp and get better benefit out of it, in my opinion. But yeah.
Okay.
Cool card art. Yeah. I'll say that.
Oh yeah, yeah. It's a cool card. Yeah. But yeah. We'll see. I'll see what lands you're adding. Because like I said, I've cut 10, or yeah, cut 15, or cut 10, adding 15, or however that works out.
Yeah.
So, because I'm adding the five lands, so.
Yeah.
Yeah, unless you got cooler lands, so I'll probably just throw one of them in there.
Yeah, we might. We'll see. Next up, I got Merciless Eviction. As we talked about, you had, I think, four board wipes.
Yeah, something like altogether. That.
And for we're wanting to go wide, we don't really want that many board wipes that don't, unless they like don't affect us, which I think a card we're both adding is a card that wouldn't affect us. And so that was kind of my reasoning. Also, this is a really, it's six mana, and then
it's a sorcery.
It's a sorcery, so you just get it on your turn. It just kind of doesn't feel good. So
no, and the reason that I had this in there is just because it's a board wipe, but it's also exile, and yeah. You choose one, so you don't necessarily have to choose creatures, you know, whereas this deck, let's see, I only have four artifacts and four enchantments in this deck, so it's like, all right, well, you know, maybe if someone's going off with their enchantments or artifacts or something like that, can kind of do it, but yeah, I think that's better board wipes in the deck already, so I'm okay with cutting this one.
This one I think might fine. Be a contentious one. But Patron of the Vein, this is four generic, two black for a Vampire Shaman. As flying, when it ETBs, destroy target creature and opponent controls. Whenever a creature and opponent controls dies, exile it and put a +1/+1 counter on each vampire you control. That second effect
That's a good card.
Is very good. It's very strong. Mm-hmm. But six mana, I think is what we were trying to kind of get away from. So I totally understand keeping it just so that second effect alone.
Mm-hmm.
It's very strong, but I just feel like the six mana is a little
six
much.
Mana is a it is a lot, but I think that second effect is really strong if you have a full board of vampires and, you know, creature and opponent controls dies, so it's not even on your turn, you know, so it's, this stuff could be happening, and one, it's also exiling your opponent's creatures as well, you know, you have two people at the table that are fighting it out for some reason. Every time they're getting rid of each other's creatures, they're getting exiled, and you're just pumping your board. So I know six is a little bit, you know, it is expensive, but it's flying, it ETBs destroying something, and then it pretty much is an exile effect for your opponents, you know, for all their creatures while buffing your board. So I like this card. I'm willing to, you know, look past the high CMC because it's not like you have to pay mana into the effect. It's not like you have to pay life to activate the effect. It's just once it's out there, it's out there. So,
yeah,
I like it.
Yeah,
I like it.
Next up, we have Sorin, Imperious Bloodlord. This is too generic for black for Planeswalker. Has a bunch of +1 effects and a -3 effect. Planeswalker takes place of a creature. You know, I think we're more about getting tokens out. I do think, you know, the +1 where you can give a creature Death Touch, lifelink, and a +1/+1 counter if it's a vampire is good. I don't think we really want to be sacking a vampire too much.
Every time I feel like I've ever used this card, which I kept it in my cuts. I had two Sorin Planeswalkers, so I'm like, I'll keep this one because I feel like I've used it so many times because of my real crappy mana situation. I use that third ability, the -3. You may put a vampire creature card from your hand onto the battlefield. Which, you know, this is I've done it before. A turn one, play a play a swamp, village rights, play Sorin, -3, and putting like a Patron of the Vein on the battlefield. Turn one, you have this 4/4, you know, flying creature, you know, or a different creature like that. So it's nice if you can get it early, but yeah, it's kind of a feels bad card, you know, later on in the game when. Yeah. Your hand's filled with 3-cost vampires, and it's like, well, I'm not going to spend 3 mana on a planeswalker when I could just spend 3 mana on
a creature. Yeah.
So I get it. I'd have to see some of the other cuts or some of the other ads and stuff to see if it actually comes out or not.
Totally fair. Next up, I have Viscera Seer. This is one black, which I know is very anti what I've been talking about, but Vampire Wizard, sack a creature, scry one. I didn't really feel like we wanted to be sacking creatures just to scry. You know, I figured if we're going to be sacking, we, you know, do a village rights where we can sack and draw two or something like that.
Yeah. Well, the thing is, you have so many tokens with this deck. If everything's going well, you know, it's you can kind of do this before your upkeep, kind of just like, all right, you know, you leave all your tokens up for blockers, or even if you have them sideways, and then just kind of, all right before your upkeep, sack something, scry, just to kind of make sure you're drawing into, or you have a better chance of drawing into something that you need. You know, it's, if you're flooded with mana, and you can scry and make sure it's not mana, so... For it's a one cost, comes in with two bodies, and it gives you a free sack outlet too, you know, so even if there's a board wipe or something, all right, let me sack some creatures real quick and make sure that at least on my next upkeep I'll be able to, you know, respond or something like that. So this one's a harder cut for me, so we'll see about that.
I do have a couple like one drop vampires I suggested, so that's why another reason I was like, okay, I'm okay with this one.
Okay.
And then I have Witch's Cottage. This is a land that will enter tapped unless you control three more swamps. You're in three colors, so it's kind of hard to have that. So it's most likely entering tapped. It also has, when it ETBs untapped, you can put a target creature card from your graveyard on top of your library.
Yeah.
It's just that whole...
So you only get the benefit. Yeah.
You know, you're running the risk of drawing this, like, early in the game, and, like, it just, you know... It's going to enter tab. It's not going to get the second ability. So it's just a swamp at that point. Why not just run a swamp? Yeah. It's not going to enter tab. That's my kind
of
thing.
No, that makes a lot of sense. Yeah, if this was mono black or a two-color deck or something. But yeah, three colors. I'm not going to have three swamps at it all time. So then it's pretty much just a tap land with no benefit. So yeah.
That's fair.
Yeah. I'd swap it for anything else. Anything else.
And yeah, those are my cuts. You know, I think...
all right.
I think we got some of the duds out of there, you know? Like that Vampiric Tutor.
Yeah,
got terrible.
All right, so let's talk some ads then.
Yeah.
You know, what should I do, my ads or...
Yeah, you know what? You talked a lot about your deck. Why don't I just go straight into ads?
Okay, sounds good.
So this one's actually going to be broken down by, you know, lists. So why don't we start with a new type of card? A battle. Oh yeah, we're bringing one of these in. This is Invasion.
If I just had these worked, I would add them.
New Capenna. This is a white and a black for a battle siege. So when a battle enters, you pick an opponent to defend it. Everyone else can attack it. I've only played like one once, and like it was pretty cool. So I was like, okay. So when it ETBs, you may sacrifice an artifact or creature. We got a couple tokens that we're sacrificing. When you do, you can exile a target artifact creature an opponent controls. Removal for two mana. It has four defense counters, so if we can deal four damage to it, which I think, you know, when you got a board of enemies, or a board of creatures, should be pretty easy. You can transform it.
Mm-hmm.
And when we transform it, we bust out the Holy Frazzle Cannon, which, what a fucking name, am I right?
Yeah, really.
It has equip one. Whenever an equipped creature attacks, put a +1/+1 counter on that creature for each other creature you control that shares a creature type
on
with
that
it.
Creature and each other creature you control. Yeah.
Oh, look at that. Yeah. So that's a big pump for your entire board out of nowhere for effectively three mana altogether with the two costs and then the one equip.
And it doesn't even have to do combat damage. It just has to attack. So even if they block and kill it, you still pump your board, and you can just equip this to something else. Yeah, the turn after that. Yeah, this would just fall off because it's equipment. Yeah. So that's a... I like that. I don't even look at battles when I'm looking at cards because it's weird. You know, it hasn't been out long enough to kind of figure out how good they are.
Yeah.
You know, but I think this is going to be a good foray into... seeing how battles work on my decks, because I would add this. That's very cool, and like I said before, every single creature in the deck is a vampire, so it literally benefits your entire board.
Yeah, I think it's really cool. It's, you know, it's a removal on the front side, and then just a board pumper on the back side when you're running a tribal theme deck. So very good.
Yeah,
And Holy Frazzle Cannon is just so badass sounding. So
man, that is a name and a half. I like it.
I have six creatures for you. Let's start off with Creeping Bloodsucker. This is one generic and a black for a vampire. Beginning of your upkeep, Creeping Bloodseeker deals one damage to each opponent. You gain life equal to the damage dealt this way. So really cheap. Gets you a little bit of life. Pings a little bit.
Yes. Yeah. Four life each upkeep.
Yeah.
That's out.
So
yeah, it's nothing super fancy, but you know, we cut some more expensive vampire cards in there, so this is a good addition to kind of lowering the mana curve and getting a little bit of life.
Yeah.
You know?
Yes,
that's good.
Yeah. Next up we got Dusk Legion Duelist. This is the one and a white for a Vigilance Vampire Soldier. Whenever one or more +1/+1 counters are put on Dusk Legion Duelist, draw a card. This triggers only once each turn. This is kind of the upgrade to Dusk Legion Zealot I was talking about, where it goes from just one time ETBing to any time a +1/+1 counter is put on it, which I think if that's a sub-theme we're trying to really work in, I think this
It's only once each turn, so I don't know if there's enough in the deck to be adding counters on other people's turns, but there's some stuff, so... Yeah, like I said, we cut some of the more expensive vampires, so you gotta kind of fill it in. So not every single vampire is gonna be like the sexiest, like, oh my god, this breaks the deck wide open, you know, or anything like that. But this is definitely, I'll get two bodies for two mana, and there is a chance that I draw a card whenever I get those counters. So
yeah
that's good.
Next up, we have a newer one. This is from March of the Machine Aftermath. This is Markov Baron. This is two and a black for a Vampire Noble. It has Convoke, Lifelink, and other vampires you control get +1/+1. It also has a Madness cost, but we're not discarding anything ever. So effectively, my thought here was, this is a board pumper that you can play on turn two if you have a turn one vampire. Because you're making a token. You're playing the card. You're making a token. That's costing... That's two mana done. You just have to pay one more. So
okay,
and it's a it's like a lifelink,
and it comes out with another body.
Yeah,
it comes out with that token.
There you go. So now on turn two, if you have this
four creatures
on turn two, and they're already getting pumped. So
okay,
that's pretty strong in my opinion.
I like it.
Yeah. Keeping the Markov theme going, we have Markov Enforcer. This is just a badass card. Like, I like this one. It's high cost, I'll admit, but I think it's fun. It's a 4-mana, 2-red vampire soldier. Whenever it or another vampire ETBs under your control, it fights up to one target creature an opponent controls. And whenever a creature dealt damage by Markov versus turn dies, create a blood token. Now, blood tokens...
See, and that's the thing.
I
read this card, and as soon as I got to the blood tokens, I was like, nope. Like, I tried... Kind of just hand waved everything from that vampire precon, because from Crimson Vow or whatever the hell it was called. Because man, if they all focus on the blood tokens, and those blood tokens, they suck. Like, you have to pay a mana, discard a card just to draw a card. It's just,
I mean,
as soon as I saw blood token, I kind of, you know, got rid of this card. But yeah, no, that first ability is
It's strong.
It is very strong.
Because
it's not only once per turn. It's any time.
Yeah. It's a 6/6. So, I mean, so you can be hitting some stuff really hard. I will say, like, I don't think blood tokens are the best. I do think when, like, you desperately need to draw a card, like, they are there in a pinch. Or, like, if you have a card in hand, it's, like, worthless. You can get it out of your hand and get a new card. So it does help for... If it was a negative, if it was, like, pay one, discard two cards, draw a card... Totally would get like
high value,
but I do think trading one for one is valuable sometimes. But yeah,
no, this is a cool card, and this can kind of replace one of the higher expensive, you know, more expensive vampires that we did cut. So
that
is cool. I like that. I do like the fighting. It's a 6/6, so it can, you know, kind of take out some of the smaller crap that's on the board. And yeah, so let's see. Whenever Markov or another vampire enters the battlefield under your control. So I wonder how this would work if this is out there and I play another vampire.
I think it would get to fight once, twice.
And then my token comes in and it fights a second time. So yeah, that's really cool.
So, I mean, you could effectively have this kill like two creatures for pretty easy. Next up, I have Midnight Arsonist. This is 3 generic and a red. And I'm telling you this knowing that I play a artifact deck. This is a vampire. Mm-hmm. When it ETBs, you destroy up to X target artifacts without mana abilities, where X is the number of vampires you control. Just thinking about it, like, there are some very effective artifacts that get played. A lot of us play Voltron, things like that. So this is a way for you just to really trounce of like my Necron artifact deck. This is a way to trounce or Voltron. This is just a way to get free artifact removal for like anything really. So
this could be, this is a good card in our meta, our pod meta. I'm not sure if this is a good card
in general. Yeah, it's fair. I get that one.
General, just because if it was X target artifacts, then yeah, no brainer. But target artifacts without mana abilities, that's kind of
that kind of sets back. Yeah,
it sets back a lot of cards. So yeah, for you know our meta, for whatever reason, we have like 3 people running Voltron decks, so it's ridiculous. So this would definitely help in our meta. So maybe this is a kind of a sideboard card that I put in when I'm playing with you guys, and I would take out if I ever brought it somewhere else, just because I don't think it would get much benefit elsewhere. But for us, yeah, definitely.
Totally fair. Last creature I have is Vampire Cutthroat. This is 1 black for a vampire rogue. It has Skulk, which means it can't be blocked by creatures with greater power, and it has lifelink, and it's a 1/1. Cheap, gets you out there. Has Skulk.
Unblockable.
So it's unblockable. Put Holy Frazzle Cannon on it. You know,
well, it's only unblockable by creatures with greater, can't be blocked by creatures with greater power. So that's the thing. If once it gets too big, then it can be blocked, you know, but
not a lot of us running too many token themes. So I was like,
and Holy Frazzle Cannon actually doesn't matter if it's just has to attack and it pumps. So, yeah, actually, that would be kind of cool with the other card that you added, the Holy Frazzle Cannon, kind of make it bigger just because it'll never, you know, they can double, triple block it to kill it once it gets too big, but can't be blocked by creatures of greater power. At least, yeah, you never have to worry about running into, you know, someone's commander and just dying on the spot. So that, yeah, all right.
Yeah.
I like it.
Next up, I have 1 sorcery. This is Olivia's Wrath. This is 4 generic and a black. For a sorcery that says each non-vampire creature gets -X/-X until end of turn, where X is the number of vampires you control.
This great card. I have this in my additions too.
Yeah, this is from the same precon as Markov and Enforcer, and you know I think it's just it's a good vampire themed board wipe, or just you know helping you get through a big wall of someone else's tokens or creatures, things like that. Mm-hmm. So really strong. I like it a lot. I think I don't think I ever got to play. I had bought that precon and played with you guys a couple times, and I don't think I ever got to cast it. But I did like it a lot. I think it's a standout from that precon.
Yeah, that's a really cool card. I don't know how I kind of missed that one, but I put that in there. Very one sided board wipe. So that's fantastic, and it's -X/-X counters. So it's gets around all the other Mishigas there. So. So it's good.
I got 1 instant, and it's kind of like, I think I think it's going to be a new staple for tribal themed decks. So it's And They Shall Know No Fear. It's 1 generic and a white for an instant. It says choose a creature type. Creatures you control the chosen type get +1/+0 and gain indestructible until end of turn. 2 mana. Better
unbreakable formation.
Yeah. Better unbreakable formation. And very strong from the Warhammer precon sets. So, yeah.
Yeah. Did I? I didn't put that in my ads, did I?
I think you did. I think it was in your list that you had sent. Yeah, it's in your list. Yeah.
Okay, good.
And then lastly, a card that I fucking love so much. It's an enchantment. It is Starlight Spectacular. 2 generic, white. Getting combat on your turn. Choose creatures you control 1 at a time until each creature you control has been chosen. Each of those creatures gets +1/+1 until end of turn for each creature chosen before it. If we're going super wide like you're able to do, I think this on turn 5 or 6, you are pumping some creatures. So
yeah. Yeah, that's, you know, it's not hard to have like 10, 15 vampires out there. So being able to give stuff, you know, up to +14/+14 is absolutely insane. So
yeah,
that's a great card. That's a great addition.
Yeah, and I have my five lands for you. So
okay,
we have Luxury Suite. This enters the battlefield tapped unless you have two or more opponents. Where you play a four person. You have all the other ones, so I figured why not. And so this, I think this is like the cheapest of these lands. It's like $8.
Yeah.
So you have the other two already in there, so I figured might as well just throw the third one in there.
Okay.
Secluded Courtyard. Enters the battlefield, choose a creature type. Can add a colorless or add one mana of any color. Spend this mana only to cast creature spells of the chosen type or activate the abilities of a creature or creature card of the chosen type. So I think you might still have a couple left over from our cuts where you have to pay into them. So this helps pay for that if you needed to, or it just helps you pay for vampires.
Okay.
It's just another Path of Ancestry or...
Hey, I need land. Unclaimed territory. It's better than a basic land.
Yeah.
So I can use any color.
Yeah. Another Temple of Malice. You have more red and black, so I went with the other temple. Enters the battlefield tap, but it does let you scry one. I like these for like multicolored because it lets you see what you're going to draw next and gets anything you don't want out of the way. So, and then Vault of the Archangel. This is
I haven't seen this one before.
Tap for a colorless, pay two, a white and a black. Creatures you control get Death Touch and Lifelink until end of turn. With as wide as we're going, I think four mana to get Death Touch and Lifelink is definitely worth it.
That's fantastic.
So, yeah.
I like that.
And the last one I have is Voldaren Estate. Figured fits the vampire theme, you know. You can tap for a colorless. You can tap to pay one life and add one mana of any color. Spend this only to cast a vampire spell. You know. Helps you color fix. Then the last ability is five mana. Tap it, create a blood token. This ability costs one less to activate for each vampire you control. You're probably going to have five pretty easily, so it's just a free blood token. I know you don't like them, but it is a card draw when you desperately need it. So.
Okay. Hey, like I said, we just have to add lands to it, so might as well get a little, you know, add a card that has some maybe benefit, you know, instead of just a basic land if you can. So, all right.
Yeah.
I like that. I like those. Good job, Cody.
Thanks. Let's hear what you got. See what else we can add to the list.
I'll go through these fairly quickly. So, first one's starting off with an expensive-ass vampire here. Crossway Troublemakers. Five colorless and a black. Starting right all the way up there.
Jesus Christ.
It's a 5/5 vampire. Attacking vampires you control have Death Touch and Lifelink. And whenever a vampire you control dies, you may pay two life if you do draw a card. So I know it's six mana, but it's kind of the same thing where it gives your attacking vampires Death Touch and Lifelink, which I think is very strong. And then just that second ability is kind of just going to be static, you know, on the board whenever it's out. Whenever a vampire you control dies, pay two life if you do draw a card. Say, you know, you're able to sacrifice some of your other vampires to scry, then you're kind of able to sack a vampire, scry, and then pay two life and draw a card. So you can kind of go through your deck. There's not a limit on how many times this can happen per turn. I thought this was a little bit on the higher edge of the mana curve, but once it's out there, it kind of makes your creatures that much scarier.
I do like the card. It is kind of high cost. And like part of me is like, man, can we put like an Urza's Incubator or like something like you can name a creature type, but it's like so many of the vampires you want to play are so cheap and they don't have a generic cost. So it's like hard.
Versus Incubator used to be in this deck.
Oh, okay. See, yeah. And so it's just like, it's like almost not worth it. But like to get this out on turn three or four, like would be kind of nice.
Well, if you have the Soren Planeswalker out there, you could just -3 and play it from your hands.
Yeah. I do like it. It is high cost, but like I think you know, if we're getting rid of like Vona, I think you can add this.
I think once I do most of the cuts, the adds and cuts, maybe I'll do this one last and kind of see what the mana curve is looking like and making sure, you know, because I don't have the mana curve in front of me right now with all the additions, but kind of see if it, if it's even enough, you know, you don't want like five cards or six mana in the deck. So if I only have like one or two other five cost cards, six cost cards, maybe. But I just thought it was a cool card. I thought it was worth bringing to the table to discuss. It's kind of
I do like it. I think it's
where
is
I landed with that.
I mean, it's an anthem that just helps because I mean, like we just talked about with Vaulted Archangel, Death Touch and Lifelink is strong when you have seven creatures on the board.
Yeah, so absolutely. This next card you're not going to like, probably. Falcon Wrath Pitfinder. It's one mana. It's a red for a 2/1 vampire. And then you can pay two mana, discard a card, sack a vampire, draw two cards. Activate only if an opponent lost life this turn. So it is situational. It does cost two mana, and discarding a card and sacrificing a vampire. There's a lot of things that you have to do. But for a deck that I was consistently running into card draw problems, the ability to be able to draw two cards as not as much as you want, but fairly decently, if you have, you know, four or five cards in hand and nothing's really going to help you out and you kind of just need to get through and find an answer, the fact that you're able to just kind of pay two mana, discard, sack, and draw two, I like I said, it was worth bringing to the discussion because it does draw you a lot of cards.
I think this has a lot more downsides than I would run personally.
Right.
I think, you know, maybe if your whole thing is you want to be able to draw cards, you know, for two mana, you could do Village Rites, you could do Deadly Dispute, you could do...
Well, that's the thing. I cut three of those. So I'm like, all right, well, if I'm cutting three of those, then at least for one mana, I can put in a vampire that kind of, you know,
I just don't like
kind
the discard.
Does the same thing.
If it just said two mana, sack a vampire, draw two, that's fine. I think the discarding card takes it too far to not be
It's equal. A blood token, man. It's pretty much a blood token.
But it's also
with
making
one
sacrifice.
Extra mana.
It's making sacrifice.
And sacking. Yeah.
That's the thing. Mm. I'd rather just pay one, sack an artifact, discard, draw. Versus discard.
Defense about this one.
I don't know. It's a one mana vampire. Don't get me wrong. So it's good.
Yeah.
Because you're essentially getting you're getting the free sack of vampire out of the way.
Mm-hmm.
So then it just turns into a two mana discard.
Discard the card.
And then,
and draw two.
Activate only if an opponent lost life this turn. Is the other caveat.
That's it. Yeah.
I think this is a
now,
card.
So much.
I would put Crossroad Troublemakers in before I put this one in. This would be my 101 or 102. And as I'm making cuts, being like, let's edge it a little closer.
Okay. All right. Hey, I agree with that. So, and talking about, it's downside, two mana, downside, discard, downside, sack a vampire, and downside only if an opponent lost it. Yeah, so it's a lot to get two cards. So, all right. This card sucks. Sorry, Cody. I've brought honor, a great dishonor to the podcast with this. So, apologize for that. Let's see, that was it for the creatures, because I cut like a lot of crappy creatures. I knew you were going to have a bunch of creatures, so I was like, all right, I'll just do two additions, because I know I'm probably not going to get to add all the all the ones suggested.
Yeah.
So, sorceries. Olivia's Wrath, we already talked about. Fantastic card. Don't know how I missed it. That's going in there. Next one up was Dam. This was a board wipe that I put in just because it seemed a little bit better. It's a black and a black sorcery. Destroy target creature. A creature destroyed this way cannot be regenerated, or you can overload it. So you can, instead of pay two colorless, a white and a white, in which case then it destroys all creatures and they can't be regenerated. So it's a four mana board wipe. I think it's just a better option than what I had elsewhere in there. So I've been kind of slowly seeding this into any of my decks that have black and white in it, just because it's kind of a dual purpose. You can use it as targeted removal, or you can use it as a board wipe. So dual purpose.
Yeah, I like it. I think it's good.
Next card, Pact of the Serpent. One colorless, a black and a black. Choose a creature type. Target player draws X cards and loses X life, where X is the number of the creatures they control that were chosen this way. I like that. Three mana, and I can potentially draw a ton of cards, you know, it's kind of fixes that other problem. Yes, you do lose life, which I know we're trying to get away from, but this is kind of a one-time effect, and it has the potential to draw you an ass ton of cards. You know, if you're playing this, chances are you have 5, 6, 7, 8 vampires out there, and you're going to be able to draw a decent chunk of cards and hopefully find something to recoup the losses of the life that you lose.
Yeah, I mean, black is so heavy on, like, losing life to get a benefit. I think if you're hitting at least, like, 3 to 4 creature card draw off of this, like, it's worth it. So, yeah, I like this one a lot.
I'd probably be doing it when I have more than that. Yeah. You know, I'm a sucker for if I have the ability to draw 10 cards, I'm going to draw 10 cards. I mean, you know, I'll draw 10 and I'll discard. So I think that's a good addition. So that's it for the sorceries. Instance, and they shall know no fear. We already talked about that one.
Very good one.
So that's going in there. Deadly Dispute, I added, which we mentioned on a couple of other. Yes,
really,
yes.
Really Cody's, happy I found this card.
Cody's it's pumping himself up right now. It's a great card, and this was one that Cody had suggested for a couple of my decks, so it's made it into this one as well.
Look at this. Sacrifice an artifact or creature. Just sack that blood token if you don't want it that bad.
Hey, that's true.
Yeah. That is a very additional good card. I think people should fucking run this card more often. It's very good.
It's a one colorless and a black instant as an additional cost. Sack an artifact or creature. Draw 2 cards and create a treasure token. So, yeah, 2 cards and a treasure for 2 mana instant. That's good, especially in a deck where you're going to have so many cards that you can kind of use as fodder to sacrifice with. Next card, Stinging Study. It is expensive, but it's 4 mana and a black instant. You draw X cards, lose X life, where X is the mana value of a commander you own on the battlefield or in the command zone. So I love that it has that tiny little bit at the end, or in the command zone.
Yeah.
That is just, that completely changes how good this card is, I believe. So it's pretty much, it's 5 mana, and you get to draw 6 cards.
Yeah.
That's very good value, I think. 5 mana for 6 cards. You do lose 6 life, but you're getting 6 cards, you know, that you're getting a lot of cards. Yeah. And believe me, people, I've played this deck for years, consistently top decking, consistently just not enough cards in hand. So got rid of a lot of those sorceries that draw you, you know, 2 or 3 cards and have you lose life. Instead, just to have this out there at instant speed too, and being able to hopefully capitalize on 6 cards. I think it's a good addition.
Yeah, it's funny. I was actually just like, right before I was like, oh, I really should have looked into like cards that say like, do something with the commander in the command zone, like things like that. Because it's a 6 mana commander, it's like we're never playing it, so like I should try to find like cards like that. But I just didn't have time to, and I was like, so I liked that you had this one because it makes sense to add. It's 5 mana. This is like the last card in your hand. You pretty much have a fresh hand out of nowhere. So
absolutely, 5 mana for 6 cards.
Very good.
And it's 6 cards every time. It's not, oh, or X is the amount of vampires you control, or X is the amount of life that someone. It's not that. It's your commander. So
yeah,
5 mana, 6 cards.
Very good.
Next, 2 artifacts. These artifacts are absolute no-brainers, and the reason that they're not in here is because they were very expensive when I made this deck. They have since been reprinted a couple times. One was in a pre-con recently, so
the prices of these,
the prices of these have dropped drastically. So won't spend too much time on them. Door of Destinies and Vanquisher's Banner. Door of Destinies, 4 mana. Choose a creature type as it enters. Whenever you cast a spell of the chosen type, you put a charge counter on this, and creatures you control of the chosen type get +1/+1 for each charge counter on Door of Destinies. Fantastic card. I have it in a couple different tribal decks. You just pump this thing up like crazy, and it's just a static effect that all your other creatures of that type are going to have it. It's insane.
Yeah, very good. Very strong. I'm really glad it's got a reprint because, it was very expensive because like, I remember looking at putting it in the Human Tribal and like a couple other ones, and it just got a reprint in the Lord of the Rings set, so very good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Vanquisher's Banner, 5 mana, enters, choose a creature type, vampires. Creatures you control of the chosen type get +1/+1, whatever. Whenever you cast a creature spell of the chosen type, draw a card. There's no limit on how often, not only once per turn, none of that garbage. Just you play three vampires in a turn, you're drawing three cards that turn. This would definitely help with the card draw issue, and this recently it went down in price. It's $10 right now, but man, I feel like this was like a $30 card, like a $35 card. It was just shooting up there because it's so strong.
Yeah, it was up there for sure. Cause I remember when it came out, and then the Knights precon deck, everyone was like, "Get this because it's so worth it."
Yeah, the card was worth more than the or cost more than the precon. So, yeah. Last one, enchantment. Etchings of the Chosen. One colorless, white and a black. Enchantment, it enters the battlefield, choose a creature type. Noticing a theme here. Creatures you control of the Chosen type get +1/+1. Sure. Then you can pay one colorless to sack a creature of the Chosen type. Target creature you control gains indestructible till end of turn. It seemed like a fairly low-cost Anthem effect. It's only 3 mana. It gives your stuff +1/+1, so that's somewhat okay right off the bat. But then just that final ability to sack one of your tokens and give a target creature indestructible, that's just good to have, you know?
Yeah, I agree.
I know there's not any like single high-powered vampires in this deck, but there's some that, hey, I'd like to not lose, you know? If someone's doing a board wipe, I wouldn't mind sacking a creature to just keep something that will kind of give me a little bit of a head start at the beginning of the next turn. Or I have a Londa Dusk Rose out there and someone wipes the board and then I can give it indestructible and now it's getting all those insane counters from, you know, from everything else dying, it has indestructible.
Yeah.
It's just, it's worth it. It's like having it on a land. You know, if you have something that gives something indestructible on there, you might as well throw it in there just in case you ever need it.
Yeah,
rather have it than not need it.
Very strong card. Really good find. I like this one a lot. I think this goes into any kind of tribal deck that is running black and white. So mm-hmm. I like it a lot.
Yeah, and then 5 lands. So we'll say your lands.
Any lands would help at this point.
Any lands would help. 33 is embarrassing. There was a very obvious trend as I was adding cards into Moxfield of bad mana counts. So, but this was the most egregious, I think. I don't even think I suggested this as our first episode for this. I think I mentioned this deck to which you were like, we need to start reviewing some of your decks. You know? I think it was kind of, this was the cause, not the effect. So.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, like,
but yeah, that's what I got.
We talk about like decks all the time, and like I've mentioned once or twice that like I like one color or two color because like getting into three color just scares me because I had a 5 color mm-hmm. deck before, and like I felt like my lands were terrible, and so like you know maybe by doing this, I think I've also seen the light when it comes to making land choices in mm-hmm. three color. So
it's. The thing is to have, once you start going 3, 4, or 5 color decks, it just gets so expensive to build your mana base correctly. You know, it's just, that's the long and the short of it. And I think a lot of the problems with my mana in this deck were just because when I was building this, I just didn't want to spend $15 for Shocklands, mm-hmm. you know, or they've gone up since then.
Yeah.
So I probably should have. But, you know, or Triomes and things like that, it's just, it's very annoying. You know, I know our one friend Mike that I was talking about before, he has that Ur-Dragon deck, and he always, you know, talks about how he put into Moxfield. He's like, oh, this deck's worth $1,500. It's like, yeah, but like 1,000 of that's probably just lands, because you have every Triome in there, every Shockland in there, every dual land in there. Like, it's like, yeah, you have this super expensive deck, but like, you know, 70% or 80% of it is just the mana base. You know, it's so expensive to do, you know, five mana like that, unless you have Chromatic Lantern, in which case it's easy. But yeah, so it's doable. That's why I like 3-color. I think 3-color is the sweet spot where you can still kind of get away with some, you know, crappy tap lands, but you know, slowly upgrade those as you can.
Yeah.
Whereas if you have Ur-Dragon deck and every single dual land and just tapped, then you're not having a good time trying to cast your 9-cost commander or whatever.
Dragons are very high mana creature type, so at least with vampires.
And Ur-Dragon needs to come out. Like, Ur-Dragon, it has a cool eminence effect, but for the most part, if you're playing Ur-Dragon, you need Ur-Dragon to come out. So it's, you know, whereas Edgar, I think he never comes out. He's been out once or twice. He doesn't like it outside. It's a vampire. He wants to stay.
Yeah.
He wants to stay secluded in his little command zone there.
Yeah. I mean, hey, so, we had that one printing of Charmed Groom. We've seen how fragile he is. So
he's an old man.
Yeah.
Just an old man. So, yeah, that's I think I'm gonna make those additions. If you go on to my Moxfield account, which
we'll have a link in the description below.
Yeah, we'll have a link. Soko_Amaretto. We'll put a little thing in there for it, but you can check it out. I'm gonna make these additions. Not every single, you know, additions going in there. Not every single cut's getting cut, but for the most part, it's going to be much better than where we started off. I think this is incredibly helpful. I think this is going to fix this deck up a whole bunch.
Yeah, I'm excited. I'm glad we got to do this and go through everything. And I think we
absolutely
kind of we've righted the ship for you. You know.
Yes, absolutely. Well, and I think it also shows a lot of the mistakes that new deck builders will make when constructing a deck, and it kind of shows I think it'll be a learning experience to kind of see the progression that you make. We're realizing you need to kind of focus. You need to worry about your mana base. You need to worry about your mana curve. You know, a lot of things that when you're first building a deck and you're like, cut the lands because this card's cool as shit and it needs to go in there. It was very much so my mindset. I know you're a new player and you don't really seem to have that same problem. So I'm not sure if it's a me thing or an amateur thing, but it's something that I ran into, and I think this is definitely going to, you know, make it better. I can't wait to make the changes and then actually play it against you guys and see how it does.
Yeah, I'm excited. Yeah, I think this deck was already pretty scary. Like you would pop off quite a few times with it. And I think
when it worked, it worked.
When it worked, it worked. Yeah. And so now I'm excited to see it can work more often. So
absolutely.
So yeah,
absolutely.
Good. Glad to hear it, Les. Glad you're excited to play it, and I'm excited to play against it. so, yeah. That was Brew Review. Thank you guys for listening. We'll be doing one of these a month. So I guess next month will be my deck. We'll have to talk about which one I want to kind of go over. I think Cocaine Bear has been on the kind of chopping block for a little bit because I didn't enjoy how it played at the last Command Fest I went to. Yeah.
Hey, I have a bear deck, so I am chock full of bear knowledge. Let's see if I can help you out a little bit with that.
Yeah.
And then we still have our regular Brew the Screwed episode that will be coming up soon too, which this month it's my turn, and I have a weird one going. We'll see how
excited. It's, I don't think we talked about it at all, so I'm excited to hear this.
Well, you know what it is at least there.
Yeah, you did send it.
So it's gonna be very easy, I think, with the deciding how many enchantments, artifacts, lands, all that stuff. It'll make sense. It'll make sense. So, yeah, we have that coming up as well.
So, yeah, that'll be really good. Right. Excited for it. If you enjoyed this episode, be sure to like, follow, do all the button things on your podcast app of choice. Leave a 5-star
review. Press all the buttons.
Yeah. And, yeah, it'll help us out a lot. We appreciate it.
Yeah, leave us a comment. Leave us a review, go to our Twitter, send us an email, interact. We're fairly personable. I know I've said before I hate talking to strangers, but I love talking to fans. So, feel free to reach out.
Yeah. Yep, and you can hit us up on Twitter, @BrewToScrewIt, email, BrewToScrewIt@gmail.com, and that's how you can get in contact with us for all your questions, concerns, and all that. I think that is going to do it for this episode of Brew Review. Should we do a different outro since it's a new kind of podcast?
Should we brew it or review? No, it's not a new podcast. It's a new segment. I say
keep the outro as is. Gotcha.
Yeah, why not?
So, all right. So, hey, Until next time, should we say brew it?
Or review it.
Ah,
that's right. Switch it up. All right. Thanks for listening.
Thanks for listening, everyone.